Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
I'm sensing by the Holy Spirit this morning that some of us need to experience a greater God. That some of us come in this morning here with challenges in our life. And I really sense, Father God, this day, you're the one, Jesus says, still calms the sea. That still is the one that brings quietness and peace. Let's just pray for one another right now, because I sense in my spirit there may be people here today that need to know what it means to have Christ come in and create a breakthrough in their life, in their marriages, in their finances, because you are greater, Lord, than anything that the enemy wants to bring or that this world can bring against us, Lord. So we just thank you. And I hear the Spirit of God saying, I still know how to calm the seas. And that this day you can come in one way and leave another way. Because as I speak in Jesus' name, Lord God, let's just pray right now in Jesus' name that, Lord, regarding marriages, regarding families, regarding, Lord, kids, regarding our jobs, regarding whatever situation, Lord, in the house of Gateway, Lord God, we just thank you that there's calm waters and sailing because of the Spirit of God, bringing breath into the very wind of our lives, Father. And that this day, Lord God, we thank you that you are a greater God. And if you believe that, so somebody give God praise this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
We got Pastor Napoleon Kaufman in the house this morning, and we want to honor him. I first met Pastor Napoleon way back in the late 90s, but I watched you when you played at Washington, brother. And I saw you burn up the grass there, and then I saw you get recruited by the Raiders, and you tore up some turf there, and you know, and then how blessed I was when I heard you were a believer. I'm thinking, now this is a good thing. But then he comes to Evangel at that time, and we see the hand of God on a man of God. And he planted a church. He has a church over in the Livermore area for I don't know how many years now, 16 years. And you hear the fruit. How many know it's the fruit that you look at to see whether this thing is the real deal or not? How many know there's a lot of people in entertainment, in sports, et cetera, et cetera, but there's no fruit. It's empty. We were talking about that between service, how things are shallow. But what is so blessed that Pastor Napoleon is he's a son of the house. Here at Gate, he's part of us. He was sent out from here, and we are going to be blessed. I encourage you to turn on your ears and your spirit, because there's a challenge and a joy coming from heaven that God's going to use this man. Let's give it up this morning here for Pastor Napoleon.
Come on, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. We give you glory. We thank you for your awesome presence. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your love for us. Lord, we just pray that you would speak to us from heaven today and be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You all may be seated. I am so happy to be home. Amen. And so blessed to be able to come share the word of God with you all. Like Pastor Chris stated, you know, I was sent out to plant our church. We have a wonderful church over in Livermore called The Well, and been pastoring there. Planted the church and was sent out from here to plant the church there, and it's just been a blessing to see what God has done. But I love coming back here, and don't you just love Pastor David and Pastor Kathy? Don't you just love them? Can we give it up for them? Cool rider. And then your leadership team. Can we give it up for the leadership team? Don't they do a great job here at the church? I haven't been here in a while. And so it's so blessed to see so many faces here. And then the men, we get a chance. Where are all the men at? Where are all the men at? We get a chance to get together tonight and have some fun. So it's a blessing. I am, let me see what time it is. About 11 o'clock, 11, almost noon. So at my church, I wonder what they're doing. Praising the Lord. Having a good time. Amen. I also want to just thank God for my lovely wife, Nicole. Some of you all know her, and she is over the children's ministry there. And so she did not come. She didn't come today, but she's such a blessing. And my four kids, they're all grown up now, y'all. You know, I hadn't been here in a long time. You guys haven't seen the kids. I got four kids. I got three boys and one daughter. We were going to work till I got that daughter. I always wanted to have my baby girl. And so we finally got my baby girl. But my oldest son now is going to college. He's going to University of Pacific in Stockton. And so then I have two that are in high school, and then my baby girl's 12. And so it's a blessing to see how you grow up. And I was telling the first service, isn't it amazing how we're all just growing old together? We're just all, but praise the Lord anyhow. Some of us used to have hair. And but look at God, look at God. Amen. Come on, let's, I want to get into this. And this morning, in the first service, I taught a message on cultural impact. I want to encourage you to get that message. And then I want to kind of build on that message by sharing with you in this service. The title of the message is The Harvest is Great. The Harvest is Great. Go to Luke chapter 10. We're going to look at Luke chapter 10. And we're basically just going to break down verses 1 on down to 12. And I want to start this message by sharing a story. I have the privilege. I am not only a pastor of a wonderful church, I'm also the head football coach at a school in Oakland called Bishop O'Dowd High School. And I have been at Bishop O'Dowd the last 3 years. We've done a great job, me and my coaches, of helping to try to build a program there, help kids. And because it is a Catholic school, we have the privilege of getting a chance. We get to share the gospel with the kids, preach to them, pray with them, lay hands on them, whatever we want to do at the school. So it's really a blessing. But a part of that, I also have the opportunity to travel with Nike and do coach for something that's called The Opening. And what this is there's a bunch of kids, best kids that play football from all over the country. Once a year, we meet in Oregon at the Nike headquarters, and we basically have this big old event. So I get a chance to see some of the best kids in the country there, and they're some awesome kids. But we get a chance to go there every year. This last year, we were there in July. In July, we were there, and there was a group of quarterbacks that were just awesome. There's one from Hawaii that was like the best quarterback. This kid from Hawaii was rooming with a kid from Texas. They're in the room. The kid from Hawaii is saved, loves the Lord, serious about God. He's in his room, and he's reading his Bible. And he's reading his Bible, just enjoying himself. And the kid from Texas, who is not a Christian, comes in, and he says to the kid, he says, hey, man, why are you reading that Bible? Why are you reading that? And so the kid from Hawaii says, because, you know, I'm a Christian. I love God. This is the word of God. I believe this is the word of God. And just starts kind of ministering to the guy. And he starts ministering to the kid in the room, and then the kid from Texas starts asking him questions. Make a long story short, the kid from Hawaii ministers to the kid from Texas, leads him to Christ in his room that night. Leads him to Christ, right? Now watch this. Watch this, y'all. So he leads him to Christ that night. Then the next day, all these quarterbacks get together, and the kid from Texas starts talking about Jesus to the coaches. He starts telling them about God. Man, last night, you know, I was in the room, and man, I'm rolling with Jesus now, man. And he starts talking to the coaches, and one of the coaches is a backslidden Christian. So he hears this. He hears this guy's talking about how this player led this other player to Christ, and he's listening to it. He gets convicted. And then he comes looking for me. Because everybody knows I'm a pastor and all that stuff. He comes looking for me. He says, Napoleon, I need to talk with you. He said, this is what happened last night. He told me the story. And he said, when I saw how he led him to Christ, I just feel so convicted. And I know that I'm not living right for God, man. And I should have been the one to share my faith with that kid. And I just feel like, man, he said, I want you to help me. So make a long story short, I connected with this coach, have established a relationship with him, and have been constantly encouraging him to get right with God, do what he's supposed to do, and repent. Come back to the Lord. Because he was raised in a Christian home. If I said his name, some of you in this room would know who he is. And so when I came home from that, it just bothered me. And it troubled me. And it led me to this passage of scripture. And so I want to break this down and maybe we never forget that the harvest is great. It says in verse 1, it says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. You know, when I look at this verse, it really blesses me because it lets me know that the Lord is looking for teammates. He's looking for people that will partner with him to have an impact in their specific sphere of influence and just in the community in general. Jesus sent them first because this is somewhere that he was going. And for all of us, we're called to do the work of an evangelist. Whether we realize it or not, everybody in this room has a sphere of influence that the Lord wants to impact, and you're called to do the work of an evangelist, is what Apostle Paul said. And for us, we have to see that we're not working alone. Number one, he sent people to partner with us. One plants, one waters, and then God gives the increase. He sent them out two by two because Jesus knows the value of teamwork, and he knows that two will put 10,000 to flight. All of us in this room, we have to understand that people have gone before us to prepare people's heart for the seeds that we're going to sow, or God is sending us to water seeds. And so for us as saints of God, we have to learn the value of working in conjunction with each other along with Jesus to see people come into the kingdom. Jesus was going into this place. He could have easily just gone himself, but he sent them beforehand to get them ready for what he was about to do. He's already steps ahead of them. He knows exactly what he's looking to do, so he sends them out to prepare the hearts of the people. And all of us have to see ourselves as partnering with the Lord in this endeavor. In verse 2, he says this, then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The thing that I've stated many times is that the harvest is never the problem. It's always the laborers. That's the problem. We have people all around us that need Jesus, that are looking for Jesus, that are curious about Jesus, that want understanding about Jesus. The problem is the harvest. We're always going to have harvest all around us. People are dying and they're going to hell. People's lives are tore up. Their marriages are tore up. Their health is tore up. Their minds are people are struggling and they're looking for answers. And we have the answers. And so the question is never, is it a harvest problem? No, the question is always, do we have laborers? And I love this. He says laborers. Labor means work. It means that it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost me something. It means that sometimes you're going to have to stay up late. Sometimes you're going to have to get up early. Sometimes your body may not feel the best. Sometimes you're going to be tired. But you've committed yourself to the work of the Lord, to the labor that's necessary to see people come to know Jesus. Sometimes you don't want to talk to people. Sometimes you don't want to see another person. Sometimes I understand all those things, but when we think about this, Jesus is looking for people that are willing to get outside of themselves and start to work for his kingdom. And the greatest miracle is salvation. People want to, we can prophesy, we can lay hands on the sick, we can raise the dead, but the greatest miracle is someone giving their life to Jesus. Someone experiencing redemption, someone experiencing justification, someone receiving the forgiveness of sins. To see people come to know Jesus is powerful. And sometimes we've got so good and saved that we forget what it felt like to get saved. And to see people, the joy of salvation, all of us in this room, we have to understand that is that God is looking for workers, not complainers, not murmurers, not excuse makers, not, well, I'll just give the church some money and then Pastor David and those guys, they'll do all the work. They'll go win all the souls. No, God has called every single one of us to do the work of an evangelist. That means that we have to start looking at ourselves and being honest. Lord, when you put this person in front of me, am I willing to share my faith with them? Am I willing to open my mouth and just tell them? Am I willing to overcome all my insecurities, all my hiccups, all my baggage, and to say it doesn't matter? And I may not know every single scripture, but I know Jesus. I know that he died. I know that he was buried. I know that he was resurrected for my justification, and that God could come in, and if he could change my life, he could change anybody's life. Can I have an amen, y'all? Can I have an amen, y'all? This is what God is looking for. He's looking for workers. He's looking for people that'll get up and say, man, let's go get some souls. Let's do this today. When God blessed me and put me on this job, and yes, he that wins souls is wise. I'm not going to be foolish, but if God opens the door for me to do this, then I'm going to share my faith with somebody. I played for the Oakland Raiders for years. I love the team. I had the privilege of seeing, and I'm the team chaplain for the Raiders now. I've been around the organization a long time, but I can remember guys would come in the locker room, talk about how many girls they slept with. They'd come in the locker room, talk about all kinds of filth and perversion and different things like that. And one day, one of the coaches, John Gruden, came to me. He said, Napoleon, you got to stop talking about Jesus. And I was like, well, and in that environment, I said, well, wait a minute, coach. I said, so you're telling me that these guys can come in here and talk about all the ladies they slept with and what they was doing last night and how they cheating on their wives, and I can't talk about Jesus openly? So they can talk about what they want to talk about, but I can't talk about God? He was like, but see, he didn't know this. That after a game, his mama came to me and she said, Napoleon, my son needs you to continue to preach to him. He's coming home and telling us about how you're ministering because his mom is on fire for God. So you just keep on preaching to my son, all right? So once I got mama on my side, it was a wrap. But the labors, the issue here, though, is we cannot let people shut us down. We have to be willing to share our faith. It's the harvest is not the problem. People are going to do foolish stuff. We're in a sinful world. But where are the laborers? Where are the workers? Where are the people that are saying, put me in. I'm ready to do this. God, use me to share my faith. I want to impact somebody. I want someone to give their life to Jesus. We see very clearly here that this was the issue when Jesus brought forth. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Look at verse 2. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. He says in verse 3, Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. I love this verse because it tells me that even though God is sending us out, there is going to be times of hostility. He's sending us out as lambs among wolves. There's going to be opposition. There's going to be haters. There are going to be times when you feel like you're the only one that is standing for truth and for righteousness. Not only just in the world, but sometimes even among your family members. There's going to be times when we feel pressured, or the devil tries to make us feel guilted towards our stance for Christ. There are going to be times when people are going to call you a religious fanatic. They're going to tell you that, oh, it doesn't take all that. They're going to say, because you uphold a standard of righteousness, that you're not being loving, or you don't care. Or Jesus wouldn't say it like that. And they'll do all these things because the devil ultimately wants you to shut your mouth and not talk about Jesus. There are going to be times when you're going to feel like you, because of the cultural pressure, that you got to water it down. Water it down, bro. Don't you mention the R word. Repent. Don't mention that. Don't talk about holiness. Don't talk about righteousness. Don't talk about laying down your life. Just talk about what Jesus did, but never talk about what you have to do in response to what Jesus did. Don't talk about that. Just keep it. Hey, bro, just keep it on grace. Just keep it on grace. We don't want to hear about anything else. Not God's justice or his judgment. Just come on. There's going to be hostility towards the true presentation of the gospel. Jesus said, I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. There's going to be times when you feel like you're being attacked. I remember I was on the team, and I was sitting there in the locker room. I'm in the weight room, and somebody comes to me and says, Napoleon, I need to talk to you about God. I said, okay. So I start talking to the kid about God. I'm talking to the kid about God. One of my teammates walks in there and sees me talking to my other teammate about God. He says, Napoleon, why are you always in here talking about God? Stop talking about God. This is a true story, y'all. Stop talking about God. He came to me. I was minding my own business. He came to me. He wanted to know about God. So I started talking about God. And I said, man, why don't you just go? I mean, get out of here, man. He came to me. He said, he left. So a couple weeks later, James gets traded to the Baltimore Ravens. And I say, thank you, Jesus, for answering my prayer. No, I didn't say that. I didn't say thank you, Jesus. I didn't say it. All right. So he gets traded to the Baltimore Ravens. About 3 weeks later, this same guy that was telling me not to talk about Jesus, 3 weeks later, I get a call from him in my box. I thought we got rid of him, Lord. So I call him back. I said, hey, what's up, James? What you want, man? What's going on? He said, man, I just wanted to call you and thank you for talking about Jesus. I said, miracles do happen. I said, what happened? He said, well, I came out here to Baltimore and I gave my life to God. And I want to thank you for walking, and he literally said this, for walking covered in the blood of Jesus and sharing your faith with me and talking, because I came out here, I got saved, I'm on fire for God, and I just want to thank you. And we talked and stuff and exchanged numbers, and, you know. Now, James, he became the team chaplain for the Atlanta Falcons. Then he became, if you look at him up now, then he became the director of FCA for Clemson University. And now he's preaching the gospel all over the world, all over the place, and he's planted his own church, and God is using him mightily. Can I have an amen? Look at God. Look at God. There's going to be hostility, but stand your ground. There's going to be people that push against you. Stand your ground. Stand with Jesus, because if you stand with Jesus, Jesus will stand with you. Can I have an amen? Amen. Now, look what happens here in verse 4. We got to see this because this is also important. Jesus says, carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one, he says, along the road. Now, obviously, we know that when it comes to life, that we need money, we have to pay our bills, we have to do these things. But I think the overall theme here is never think that your, and I wrote this down, your lack of money should never stop you from achieving God's goal and plan in your life when it comes to sharing the gospel. You know, one of the things that we do with sharing the gospel is we make it so complicated. We overdo it with the stuff. We think it's our money, it's our programs, it's our this, it's our that, that's going to bring people to Christ. Sometimes it's just open your mouth and share the word. That doesn't cost you anything. Jesus is setting a precedence here that when you go, don't take this, don't take that, don't even greet anyone. What's he saying? Stay focused. And what happens is, when we do this, we'll find out that it doesn't take as much money as you think. And in some ways, it doesn't take any money at all to open our mouths and share our faith with people. To give them the message that's going to change their life. We can't be limited. Well, if I could just have $5 million, then God knows I can really be useful, and I'll tithe too. God knows I'll tithe. That's my heart. I'll tithe, and I will really be you. And we put all this stuff, then Jesus is breaking down all of that. He said, don't take this, don't take that, don't take this, and when you go, don't even greet anybody. Stay focused. And what happens is God begins to use us, and we start to realize that the power is in the word. I was talking about this morning. The power is in the message, not how eloquent you sound. You know, I'm on television. I'm on radio. I'm on radio and on television. And sometimes the guy will come back. He said, well, you know, you messed up on that word when you were talking. You know, I'm going to edit it out. I said, don't edit it out. I said, leave it. I want people to understand that, you know, I'm a human being. I'm up here. Sometimes I might not sound the most eloquent. I might not be all deep and profound. That sometimes I might slip up a word. Sometimes I might even make up a word. God wants to bless you, bless it listlessly. And I'll make up a word. I mean, you know, I want people to know that Apostle Paul said, my preaching, my teaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom. It's when you speak, does God endorse you, and is the power of God coming through you to make an impact? Stop thinking that you got to have everything perfect. Put it on there. I want them to see. And now when I go places, people say, man, you that bald-headed preacher that says, can I have an amen all the time, huh? Yeah, that's me. Can I have an amen? And so what happens is we start realizing that the power is in God flowing through you. And he wants to use all of us, and we have to be willing to embrace this. Look what he says in verses 5 and 6. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. I love this. We must never forget that the gospel ultimately that we preach is a gospel of peace. Even though sometimes it does bring war. We must never forget this. It is a gospel of priests, but it does separate. It does convict. It does cut. But ultimately, our heart should be for peace. And the message that we bring is peace. Peace first with God. The gospel, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, give us peace with God now. Then once we find peace with God, we can have peace among each other. This is the thing. People come to me, you know, and they, Pastor, what do you think about all this stuff, you know, Kaepernick kneeling and all this stuff. I said, listen, man, I don't care about that. The problem that we have is this. What people are calling a race issue is a sin issue. Everybody's heart needs to be changed. Everybody needs to come to the foot of the cross and allow Jesus to cleanse them from every issue that's wrapped up in their heart. Can I have an amen? It is a sin issue on every level. We have racism. We have reverse racism. All of it is evil. We have good cops. We got bad cops. We have good people. We got bad people. We have a sin issue. So when they asked me to jump in that train, and I'm not getting involved in it. I'm going to keep preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I don't care if you're a police officer, a fireman, broke, busted, and disgusted. And whatever you're going through in your life, you need Jesus. Can I have an amen? Everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. You're black, you're white, you're Chinese, Japanese, red, green, gold, black, blue. I don't care. Everybody needs Jesus. And when we do this, we'll see God move. And then that's when we have peace. Jesus says here that when you go to the house, he says, let your peace come upon it. And if there's a person of peace there, it'll rest. We want to be people that when we think about the gospel, this is about you having peace with God and then you having peace with others. There's no way that we're going to have true peace with God. And there's no way we're going to have true peace with others if we don't have peace with God. And what happens, saints, is that people, in order to try to find peace, they're popping pills, smoking weed, getting drunk. I got to buy this. I got to buy that. And if I just get this, then I'll have peace. Peace isn't going to come through all that stuff. Peace comes with when you first find it with God. When you get right with God. I got peace because I made it right with God. And then now, once we find that, we can relate rightly to each other. We stop looking at each other funny and we stop doing all this stuff. Now, I have peace with my fellow man because I made it right with God. Because you know how we play the blame game. Only reason why I got all these problems in my life, because of you. Lord, this woman you gave me. Isn't that what Adam did? What happens is we do this and we point at, no, the reason why you don't have peace is because your relationship with God isn't right. That's the problem. That's the problem. So when we come, we're peace bearers. We're peace carriers. We're the people that carry peace from city to city, from house to house. And when people see peace in our own lives because our relationship with God is right, then they start asking, how can I get some of that? What is that? Why are you at peace right now? The world is falling apart. Can't you see it? Why are you at peace? Jesus, how can you? Master, do you not care that we're perishing? Jesus is in the back of the boat sleeping because he knows he's in the Father's hand. And for all of us, this is what we should bring. This is what we carry. And the gospel brings peace. And we should be peace bearers. Amen. Look what he says in verse 7. He says, and remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go, he says, from house to house. And I love this is because I love this with this point. Because if God connects you to a house, if God connects you to a family, people that he's calling you to minister to, you know, our job is to go there and see the work accomplished and continue to follow through. What happens with us, we do drive-by evangelism. Lord, bless them. All right, praise the Lord. I got them. He said, if they bring you into the house, stay with them. Dwell with them. Enjoy them. Develop a relationship. Disciple them. And let your peace come. And we have to learn to do this. And it's not just the church's job to do this. Disciples make disciples. Discipleship isn't just, you know, just a class. It's one-on-one. It's relational. It's you come over to my house, man. Let's go fishing or something. Let's talk. You know, let's get to know each other. Let me tell you some things here. Or, you know, let's not even talk about the Lord this time. Let's just hang out. I want you to watch me with my family. Watch me do what's right. Watch me when temptation comes. Watch me. So you can learn how you respond to the devil's tactics. And come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. That's what Jesus said. And for us, it's the same thing. If the house is there and it's welcoming, we need to stay and allow God to do his work in and through us. I love this. Look what he says in verses 8 and 9. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as they set before you and heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come to you. I love this. I love this about this verse because ultimately you were saved because obviously God loves you and he takes pleasure in you and he wants to develop a relationship with you, but you have become an extension of the kingdom. You don't just represent yourself. Wherever you go, you bring the kingdom of God with you. You're an agent of God. God strategically gave you the influence that you have for his purposes. God has blessed you with everything you need to accomplish God's purpose in your life, especially when it comes to evangelism. You are without excuse. I am without excuse when it comes to sharing my faith and getting the word out to people. God, and I have to keep in mind that I have dual citizenship, if you will. I thank God for the United States of America, but I'm also a child of the kingdom. That I'm an agent of the kingdom of God. When you come on the scene, you're not just coming by yourself. You know how many angels are surrounding you? You know how the Spirit of God dwells in you? That God has given you power. The words that you possess power. And for all of us here, we have to see ourselves as agents of the kingdom. Where you go, the kingdom of God is going with you. Lay hands on the sick. Proclaim the gospel. Be a blessing to people. And watch how God will, when we change our mind, that wait a minute, God signed me up to do that? Yeah, he signed you up. He didn't sign you up just to sit on TV and watch television. He didn't sign you up just so you could sit down and watch the Warriors all day. See, I lost some people right there. I knew I was going to lose some people. And so what happens is he didn't sign you up just so you can. He signed you up because he wants you to start working, laboring. And you are an extension of the kingdom of God. Look what he says here in closing. He says in verse 10, but whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in the day for Sodom than for that city. You know, ultimately God is going to judge. And he's going to judge rightly with righteous judgment. But May there never be anyone on this planet that says, well, I never heard the message because nobody told me, Lord. This guy by the name of Pastor James Davis, and this almost brings me to tears, this story. He was living next to a guy, and the guy was a very nice guy, and him and Pastor James Davis started hanging out together, and they go to the fishing together and hang out. But Pastor James never really shared his faith. They were his faith. They were just kind of fishing buddies. The guy knew that Pastor James was a Christian, but Pastor James never really talked to him about his faith. They just hung out. This is a true story, y'all. Pastor James started noticing that the Jehovah's Witnesses start coming through, and they started knocking on the doors, and they started coming over to his friend's house. Finally, Pastor James went to him and said, "Hey, man, I've been noticing them guys coming up to your house all the time, and they've been coming to your house, and how, you know, are you listening to these guys?" And the guy said, "Yeah, I'm listening to the guys. I really enjoy what they have to say. And, you know, I'm starting to get involved with their meetings, and I'm doing this and that." And Pastor James said, "You know, but that doctrine that they're teaching is not right, you know." And he was going on about the doctrine. And finally he says to the guy, "The doctrine that they're teaching isn't the truth." And the man looked at Pastor Davis and said, "Well, Pastor, if you knew the truth, why didn't you tell me?" Why didn't you tell me? We went fishing and we hung out, our families. If you knew, how come you didn't tell me? Pastor Davis told me that story and others with tears in his eyes. He said, "Man," he said, "I'll never forget." And that stuck with me. That he told me that story back in 1996. I've never forgot it. And in my own mind, if I knew the truth, why am I not sharing it? Why are the laborers few? Lord, we just come before you this morning. I pray that you convict us all. We complain about the world. We complain about culture. We complain about the society. And we sit back and we're not doing anything about it. You're looking for us to get to work. I pray that you would send laborers into your harvest. The harvest is great. Lord, forgive us for our complacency. Forgive us for not taking in consideration that we are the ones that are called to advance the kingdom. And it just can't be the pastor in the church and a few ministers. It's all of our job. We are an army for God. Use us, Lord. Use us for your glory, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Every head bowed and every eye closed right now. The Spirit of God is speaking to us this morning. Some of you might be thinking deeply about what Pastor Napoleon said. Some people here, we have people here right in our presence who have never, ever made a decision for Jesus Christ. But right now is decision time, Gateway. Right now, today, right now, right here. If you've never made that commitment, we want to say a prayer here to give everybody the opportunity to make a decision that would say, "I'm going to follow Jesus Christ." There are also some here this morning that you used to follow the Christ. You used to be just on fire, and things have gotten kind of cold. Right now is a decision time that would say, "I'm getting back in the game. I'm getting back into what I need to be doing within the work of the kingdom of God." There are many here this morning that say, "I want to be a worker. I want to do what Jesus said," but perhaps there's some fear, there's some challenges. Father, right now, this day, in Jesus' name, let's all say this prayer out loud together. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I need you, and I don't have all the answers, but I want you to change me. I want you to fill me. I want you to forgive me. I want to give my life to you. I want you to be my Lord. And I want to experience that peace that Pastor Napoleon talked about. And I ask this day, Lord, that you come into my life. in Jesus' name. Amen. If everybody could look up at here real quickly here. We're going to be receiving the morning's offering this morning here in a few minutes, and we're also going to be taking a special offering, as I mentioned, for Pastor Napoleon. But before we do that, there's this card here that's in the seat pocket in front of you here. I really encourage you, if you made a decision to say, I want to follow Jesus Christ, pull that out and sign and fill that out, because we can help you. How many know you need help in your first days walking with Christ? So fill that out. But also, you may have made a decision, hey, I want to get involved. I want to be a worker. I need to go to Grow Tracks. I want to get involved in a small group, or I want to be water baptized. For instance, right after the service, out on the patio, we're having water baptisms. So use this card, and what we ask you to do, even if you're visiting here today, you want to find out more about Gateway, fill that out, drop that in the offering bag as it comes by here, and we'll be contacting you because we want to help you fulfill what God has working within your life. Let's all pray right now for the offering. Lord God, at this time, we just thank you for the opportunity to give within the kingdom. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to bless you, Lord, with our tithes, our offerings. Lord, a special offering for Pastor Napoleon this morning. And we just thank you for fulfilling your work and blessing every need within this house. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to worship. Ushers, wait upon the people.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. Let's all sing it. I'm a child of God. I am a child of God. Sing it like you mean it. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Fear is broken in the name of Jesus, 'cause I am a child.
Give God praise on a Sunday morning at Gateway. Amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor. Tell him, I'm a worker. I am a worker. You're a worker. We're all going to work. In a few minutes, we're going to go through these doors, and we're going to head out into the mission field. And the mission is available. It's ripe, and we're workers. Hey, listen, 4:30. Guys, all the guys, you're invited to the barbecue here, over here in the cafe. 6 o'clock here with Pastor Napoleon. We want our altar prayer teams to come up. If you need prayer for anything right now, you need somebody to agree with you, we encourage you to come up and receive prayer. But right now, Father, we just commit this day to you. We thank you for the word, the opportunity to worship. We thank you for bringing forth a harvest. We thank you that there's workers going out into the fields even today, right now, Father. And we just commit it to you, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. God bless you. Be blessed. We'll see you this afternoon, guys.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our